Right. Good morning, everybody. If I haven't said greeted you this morning, I'm sorry, but I'll greet you now. Good morning. How are you all doing today? I'm so glad because after today, maybe not so much. I think before we start, let's pray. So, Father, I pray that the words out of my mouth this morning would be yours, that I would hear the prompting of your Holy Spirit more than anything else. And would you fill me with the courage to say what I believe you're prompting me to say. I pray for every heart that hears your word this morning, that they would receive it openly, that that word would take root in our lives. Because I know above all, Lord, you're speaking to me as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it turns out that before I started here, I applied to a company that creates digital maps. As part of the interview, I had to draw South Africa and all the provinces in outline form. Right? Well, I wasn't offered the position. Because it turns out that my attempt to draw the provincial boundaries was terrible. In fact, they said I was borderline incompetent. Yeah, very low. So, today we're going to address the next challenging truth in our sermon series. The series is called Mission Impossible Made Possible, comes from the book Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, and it's very challenging. Andrew is the one who put me up here. I think he did it, and he gave me this subject because he doesn't want everybody to dislike him. The subject is called Embracing God's Gift of Limits. And all the subjects that we're dealing with as we go through the series is really a challenge for us to be real in Jesus in every area of our life. Now, one of the things I love to do is I love to sing. Excuse me. And so after I accepted Christ, quiet over there. After I accepted Christ as Savior, I specifically set out to learn to play the guitar. Because I thought, hey, if I can play the guitar, I can sing. Well, and so I was part of our youth group worship team, and I tried my very best to sing in tune. I even joined the church choir to learn how to sing in tune. I thought I was doing okay. Until my best friend at the time sat me down and tried to teach me to sing in tune. After three sessions, he gave up. So I've realized that I have a limit. It's called singing. It's why I've been asked to never audition for the music group. Thank you, Tony. And I've learned that the only place I can sing loudly is in the shower. And the only problem with that is soap gets in my mouth and it becomes a soap opera. But honestly, if you're anything like me, we don't want any limits in our life. Yeah? Yeah. Especially this horrible thing called speed limits. I'm not going to ask who's got a lead foot. Right? Because we believe that we can do anything and everything at any time. Excuse me. It's this approach to life that says that we are supremely confident in what we can do. And so we can drive a motor vehicle at high speed on worn tires in the middle of a thunderstorm. We don't think about the fact that it's an accident waiting to happen. Until we experience that terrifying moment where we lose control and collide with an immovable object. You see, despite the advice of older and wiser people, we tend to believe that we have unlimited freedom and can make our own choices without any consequences. It's this attitude that we have. Nobody tells me what to do. And so we don't accept any limits, not even the absolute limits of God's word. You know, God's word warns us away from sin. Because really, truthfully, sin is enjoyable. So we don't want to listen to that. And so we lose sight of how destructive sin is in our life. And the impact that sin has in the lives of others. We take the limits from the Ten Commandments that are provided for a reason, and as much as we deny them, they reveal a loving God who just wants the best for us. And if you're sitting there and you're anything like me, the first question is, how? Right? Because limits offer us protection. That's the first thing that they offer us. They keep us from painful experiences and from hurting others. Think about it. You know, the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not murder. And this country has ignored God's laws. And currently, we're sitting at around 75 murders per day. Lord, have mercy on us. Limits also keep us grounded and humble and remind us that we're not in charge of our life. God is. We're not even responsible for running the whole world, but He is. Limits help us to overcome our self-will, and so we submit and surrender to God's will for us. Limits are God's means to give our lives a fulfilling direction when we choose to listen to Him. And limits help us grow in wisdom. But perhaps most importantly, limits help us encounter God. You see, limits are for our benefit. They're a gift from God for us. But we need to embrace them. And not only are they a gift, they are a deeply spiritual issue in our life. Because when we accept the limits that God placed in our lives, we acknowledge and agree that we are not God. that we are not unlimited and we cannot do everything. Because God is God and we are not. Limits are like having guardrails for our life. It keeps us moving in the right direction without wandering away from God's direction for our life. And how we choose to understand and respond to the limits that God has placed on our life is determined by our relationship with Him. And as our intimacy with Him grows, so our ability to joyfully accept His limits grow. And accepting limits from God is a foundational element in our spiritual growth. So much so that this is the area that Satan targets the most, starting from the beginning of our Christian walk. And it's been his strategy all along. All we have to do is go and look at Adam and Eve in the garden, where God gave Adam and Eve complete freedom in the garden. He allowed them to enjoy all their time there, to enjoy all their work there, all their achievements. And then God set a limit. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, it says, "The Lord God warned him, 'You may eat freely of the fruit of every tree in the garden,'" and here's the limit, "'except the tree of knowledge of good and evil.'" One limit. And the consequence is, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. You see, God wanted Adam and Eve to trust Him, to surrender to Him totally, to acknowledge that He is good and He's full of love and knows what's best for them. But they defied this one limit. They fell for Satan's sneaky temptation. That if there are any limits, that proves there's no love. In Genesis 3, 4, and 5, "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." Adam and Eve faced a choice in that garden. A choice to believe that God knew what was best for them and accept that limit. Or try to be unlimited, to be like God. Their choice still impacts our lives today. But God had the solution. And He showed us that it is possible to live according to His limits when His Son Jesus came to earth. And as a human, Jesus accepted His limits. We can read all about that in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 10, where Satan comes and he tempts Jesus to defy His human limits and not trust God to meet all his needs. I'm not going to read through the whole verse, but I'm going to highlight the relevant verses. Now, Jesus was hungry after not eating for 40 days. And so Satan suggests to him, "Why don't you turn the stones into bread? You don't have to be hungry." In verses 3 and 4, and Jesus' answer was, no. He accepted God's limit of hunger at that time. Then Satan suggested that if God really loved Jesus, He would protect him if Jesus jumped off the highest steeple in Jerusalem. In verses 5 and 6. And Jesus' answer to him says, you must not test the Lord your God. And finally, Satan said to Jesus, you can rule over the world now. You don't have to wait if you just say yes to me. And in each answer that Jesus gave, he quoted God's word and accepted God's limit in his life as a human here on earth. So the good news is it can be done. Because Jesus chose to accept these limits based on his understanding of who God is, based upon the understanding of the guardrails, the limits in God's word, and based upon his trust in God. And I think that challenges each of us, because that gives us three challenges immediately. There were limits in the garden. Jesus had to accept limits in his life on earth. But what about today? What limits are there that we face? And I believe that God places two types of limits before us. And the first one is the limits that we need to accept and submit to. You see, we can acknowledge a limit. We can accept it. We might even agree with it. That's all okay. But submitting to and obeying the limit, that's not easy. We don't like to hear that we have to submit and obey God's limits. I don't like to hear it. And I'm sure you don't like to hear it either. For example, we know there are traffic rules. Yeah? Right? We even accept them because we know they're there for our protection. But do we obey them? You know, the way so many people drive over here, I've started to believe that they are suggestions and not traffic rules. A quick story on Panorama Road by the spa. There's a stop street, a three-way stop street, four-way stop street. You know, you take your life into your hands if you stop there. I'm always having to watch the car behind me and make sure the lane next to me is clear. Because when I stop, right, these guys pull out behind me and go straight through. They don't slow down. In fact, they accelerate. So heaven help anybody who happens to walk across the road at that time, right? Okay, they're suggestions. Last week, Andrew spoke about relaxing in God. If you weren't here last week, you need to watch it on YouTube. It's there. But he spoke about relaxing of God in God, or trusting that he knows best for us and submitting to him or obeying him. The Bible gives us a very powerful example of this. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, we read about King David, and it says this: when David was settled in his palace, he summoned Nathan the prophet. Look, David said, I am living in a beautiful cedar palace, but the ark of the Lord's covenant is out there under a tent. Nathan replied to David, do whatever it is you have in mind, for God is with you. But that same night, God said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord has declared. You are not the one to build a house for me to live in. Now just imagine it for a couple of minutes. Yes, David, he's at the height of success and popularity. He's got more wealth than he's ever had before. And he's thinking, yes, something I can do for God. Even his priests say, go for it, man. And God comes back and says, no, I don't think so. This is a critical moment for King David. His choice would either disqualify him or it would qualify him as a true king with a heart for God. Do you know what David's response was? His response was to be before he started doing. He stopped. He sought to be still. He prayed. And during his time in God's presence, realized that God had a complete plan for his life that could not see. And so David chose to surrender his will to God's limit for him because he knew that God is good and that his plans are for our best because God orders the steps of a righteous man, says the scriptures. David faced a fundamental spiritual question at that moment, one that we all face in our life. Do I trust God? Do I believe He is good and that He is in control of all things? Like David, can we decide that our knowledge is too limited to recognize God's plans for us? Told you it was going to be challenging today. You know, limits are not always supernatural. There are some personal limits that we must recognize in our lives first. There are some key areas that we need to recognize, we need to assess, and we need to be honest in our assessment. And the first one is my personality and my temperament. This goes around what energizes us. It goes around how we organize our life, whether we are spontaneous and creative or how much we need to be in control. And there are so many online personality tests that help us discover our personality right now. I remember that the very first tests that I did showed that I liked to be in control, to be orderly, to be structured. Now I look at my office and I cry. It's become a storeroom. The second limit that we're going to talk about is talk about our seasons of life. Because the Bible says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. You know, there's a reason why parents with newborn babies are always tired. Their season of life points to sleep. I mean, the lack of sleep. Right? What about teenagers? Some of them think they know everything. And the young adults challenge the current environment. And that's so good. Because the older we get, the less we want change to happen. Right? And then I believe, hint, hint, that those who retire have time, hint, hint, for prayer, hint, hint, for studying God's word, for mentoring, hint, hint. Yeah, these are just some of the seasons of life that we live through with God's presence and guidance. Then there's the limit of marriage or singleness. Because being married is a limit. That's not a negative. Marriage means that we take the needs of our partner, our spouse, and our family into consideration when we make decisions. But being single has a different kind of limit. It says, where will that 100-inch TV go? How can we? The question is, how can we, either married or single, demonstrate our healthy relationship to God to all the people that we know? Where do I have to change my schedule to give and receive love in healthy community with church members? Because it's all about the limits we set. And then there's, what about the limits of our emotional and physical and intellectual capability? When we allow our work week to regularly exceed the normal working hours every week, we soon become exhausted, unable to think, angry, and confused. And that carries on if we do not take the time to be still and allow God to recreate us. And then finally, there's the limit of time. You know, we only live one life. And we cannot do everything. Every minute that passes is 1 minute that we have less to spend on this earth. So what's important? How can we make the most of every opportunity, says Ephesians 5:16. What's our priority? We need to choose how we spend our time carefully and wisely. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, says Psalm 90. And so we have to be asking ourselves, what are my limits? I realized after some time had passed and after doing some praying that my limit is not to lead a church as a visionary senior pastor. Somebody else can have that problem. God didn't call me to do that. He didn't give me spiritual gifts to do that. His limits for me were to be an administrator, to organize and to help others in their spiritual growth. That was his limit for me. So here's the question. Where are yours? It's tough, isn't it? But I mentioned that there are two types of limits that God gives us. And we've done one. What's the second one? Well, the second one says there are limits that God is asking me and you to break through that we've applied to our life. Where are we being challenged to grow out of our spiritual immaturity? What does it look like to grow, to break through limits by faith? You know, the Bible tells us that there were some folk who had supernatural breakthroughs. Let's just go through them very briefly. There was Sarah, who was 90, and Abraham was as good as dead, right? Yet God made Sarah a mother of nations. Romans 4:19 says he faced the fact, this is Abraham, he faced the fact, this wasn't thumbsuck, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. You still got time in you. Also, Elijah was a prophet prone to serious bouts of depression, and yet he was mightily used by God. The 12 disciples were not highly educated. They weren't naturally gifted men. They didn't have a huge Facebook or WhatsApp or Instagram following. They had no prior leadership experience that would have prepared them to lead the most important movement in human history and be part of the beginning of a world-changing movement. Timothy, who was apparently fearful and shy by nature, was called by God to lead a large, influential, and very difficult church at Ephesus. And if you want to know more about it, read Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This church was beset by division, by problems and conflicts. And then there was Mary, a teenager from a poor family, living in a small town between 50 to 200 people called Nazareth, at a time when an unmarried, pregnant young girl was considered shameful. And the punishment for ignoring those limits was death by stoning. Yet she was God's chosen vessel to give birth to Jesus. God used each of these individuals in extraordinary ways as they broke through their limits by faith and by trusting God and His Word. You know, we set many, many limits for ourselves that God desires for us to break through. I'll give you an example. And this is not to pressure anybody. It's an example. We say this. We can't pray for anybody. We can't pray for somebody else. Right? Because we don't believe that God can use us. We're just too bad. Or we use excuses like we're too young or too old. Or too sinful, or we can't speak publicly, or we don't know enough, or we're too afraid what other people are going to think about us, or we don't know what to say, or perhaps we're just too rebellious. God loves you. So much so that He calls you His child. And His Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you and gives you all the power that is necessary to meet that person's need at that time. He gives you the courage to open your mouth and start talking, and then He gives you the words to say. you don't look like you believe me, you know that. But we really have no excuse. Because in God's family, everybody gets to take part in being what He has called us to. And that includes praying for others. So let's put it into practice. Anybody ready for it? Some nods, some are just looking at me, some are making sure they're not meeting my eyes at any one point. Right. Let's see. Is there anyone here who doesn't feel well? Or has pain in their body right now? Stick your hand up, please. There, oh, yeah, okay. The man who's stoned. Would you be brave enough to stand for me, please? Right? If you have pain, if you can, would you stand? Right? Now, we've just said that God gives us words to pray over each one of these folk. They're battling with pain in their body. They're not well. You agree? Right? I'm going to pray a prayer over the rest of you who are not standing, very briefly. And then I want you to get up out of your very comfortable, blessed assurance, right? And go and pray for them and say to them what God is saying to you. Got it? Right. Let's pray very quickly. Father, I know that these are your children, that they are full of your Spirit. Would you give them the words right now, the courage right now, to get up and go and pray for these folk? And would each one of the folk who are standing have a testimony to share about your goodness? In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to ask, if there's anybody here who hasn't prayed for somebody before, would you be the first ones to stand and go and do it? Oh, that's challenging, isn't it? Okay, maybe not too challenging. So if some of the prayer ministry team can start circulating, then if you haven't prayed for anybody before, come on, let's stand and go and pray for these folk. Right, I'm not going to lead you in words to pray. Pray what you believe God has laid on your heart to say over them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Right. Some folk are carrying on praying with with those folk, all the folk who were standing. Right. Did anybody feel a difference? Right.
I had pain in my stomach, and it, well, going from about a 10, reduced to, I'd say, at least an 8. So definitely it came down. Still there, but it came down.
Oh. So if we have faith for pain to go from 10 to 8, we can pray that it goes completely. Come on, Kathy, put your hand on her. Pray for her that it goes completely. Right. Anybody else who stood up who has, who felt something happen, who experienced something happen? There's Martin.
Hi, I've got neuropathy in my legs, and I could feel that it seems to have lifted, halved, I would say. Tonight, I will feel the full effects.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the goodness of God. Right, there's another one there. You see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also experienced this accident at work. It was last Sunday when the oxygen cylinder in a cage, it fell, the cage of the cylinder fell on my chest. Yeah, and I thank God that it didn't make a big damage, but the doctor said inside there are muscles that have been hurt, and then the pain will carry on for about 3 months. But I've been feeling those pains always as I kept on drinking the pills. But today, after the prayer, I feel like the pain is disappearing completely. I thank God for this. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. When we believe that God is good, this is what happens. Anybody else? Right. No. So to summarize what we've done today is we dislike all limits, even our self-imposed limits. But the limits of God's word are there for a reason. They are necessary guardrails for life. There are some limits we need to break through, and this is one of them. We need to break through this limit that we put on ourselves that says we cannot. Because in Christ we can do all things through Him who is in me. And then there are limits in God's word that we should accept and obey all the time. Amen? Amen. Press the wrong button, David. So, I want to ask that if anybody's here who's visiting us for the first time, right, won't you join Tony and some of the folk in the guest zone? They will love to meet with you there. We have a prayer ministry team who will be standing here ready to minister with you. If you were not prayed for, and even if you were prayed for and want to receive more prayer, won't you come up to the prayer ministry team right now. Otherwise, have a blessed day further. Amen? Did you learn something today? Yeah. They want a song.
I don't know.
You want to sing a song, do you? Okay. No, I'm not going to sing.
What song are you singing? I don't know what song we're going to do. What song are we doing, guys? Shall we stand? I'm at a loss what we're going to do. I don't know if we can do a fast one, a slow one. Fast. Oh, gosh. The words are not just, the words are not coming to me right now, but I know this, the rhythm or the melody line. Or so. A. Sorry. The words are not coming to me. Jesus fella, quien a fella? Jesus fella. Quién afela, Jesús fela, quién afela, Jesús fela, quién afela, Jesús moratua, wa peluyaka, Jesús moratua, wa peluyaka. Indeed, Jesús. Indi Jesu chete. Again, Indi Jesu chete. Indi Jesu chete. Indi amoro wangu. We moya wangu in the omo. Jesufela, kiena fella. Jesufela, kiena Jesu. Jesufela, kiena fella. Jesus fella, quien afella, Jesus moratua, wa peluyaka, Jesus moratua, wa peluyaka, Jesus moratua, wa peluyaka, Jesus moratua, peluyaka. Hey, hey, hey. Oh. Yeah. Come, Manfred. Manfred, sing. Jesus fella, quien afella. Come, Manfred. Quien afella. Indeed, Jesus. Indeed, Jesus. And the Jesus, Jesus Morowangu, where Moya Wangu, and the Morowangu, where Moya Wangu, and the Morowangu, where one more time, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus fela, quien a fela. So those